It constantly amazes me as we work through the scriptures. And it's been a part of it is working on the radio show with our Proclaiming the One, working through the texts every week. It amazes me how often God wants to talk about His role as Creator. He's always talking about how He created everything, and the people of God are always praising Him for having created everything. In fact, I think for every time that God speaks about His role as Creator, or the Bible speaks of it, we say nothing. I think sometimes we Christians, we're so focused on the second article of the creed that we forget the first article, or else we're kind of embarrassed about it because of, you know, science and the materialistic world and blah, 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 all those sorts of things. And tonight's not going to be a lecture on apologetics or how we talk about young earth creation or anything like that. But we really need to follow the lead of the Bible. And the Bible talks about God as our Creator. And it's something we rejoice in. It's something we confess freely before the world and before each other. And we also rejoice that the One who created is the same One who saved. We praise our Creator because He did not abandon His creation. We're going to look at Genesis 2 tonight, the creation of man and all that God provided for him there in the garden. And we celebrate the God who made everything. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask You that You give us boldness to confess before a world that does not believe it, that You created all. That all things came through the Word of God, You, Lord Jesus. That all things came into being through the Word. All things were created in 6 days, the first 6 days of this world's existence, that You set all things in their proper places and finally created man. We thank You for creating us, for giving us life, and we thank You for restoring life to us. You, Jesus, the second Adam, who came to stand and to defeat the devil where the first Adam fell. We beg You, O Lord, that You would be with us this night as we gather and hear Your Word and receive Your gifts. In Your holy, Your precious name we pray. Amen. Opening hymn, number 790.
Thank you. service, setting 4 on page 203. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's Word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the day as you find it at the front of your bulletin insert. hurtful things, to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our scripture readings.
Life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and Oxstone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord. We read together the gradual for this day. Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The epistle is from Romans, chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
We rise for the gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing the hymn of the day, hymn 819. Please be seated. Actually, we will say the Nicene Creed as is found in the back of the hymnal. Please stand. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and
the Lord God commanded the man, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this evening is that Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the second chapter of the book of Genesis, dear friends, in Christ. The Lord God planted a garden in the land of Eden in the east. It was the sixth day. He had already created light, sky and land, plants, the moon, the sun and the stars, and a multitude of animals to fill the sea, the sky, and the land. Now, he does some gardening. The world is paradise, absolutely perfect and good. But it is not yet very good. The garden in the land of Eden is to be the very center of that perfection, the perfect sanctuary of a perfect world. And in the midst of that garden, in the Holy of Holies, he will plant two trees. The sanctuary, indeed, even the very Holy of Holies, the inner chamber, is to be the dwelling place of his final creation. The creation that alone can make all things very good. Before this final creature is set in place, the world isn't imperfect, but it isn't finished. For this creature will be the crown of his creation, and it will be entrusted with the care of everything else as God's very own steward and representative. And so the Creator, who made everything else with the power of His Word, does this final act of creation in a completely unique way. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. God gives life. That is his gift to the crown and ruler of his creation. He takes the dust of the earth, forms it into man, and then gives us the breath of life. We all go back to a pile of dirt and a blast of God's nostrils. Before God formed us, we were simply dirt on the ground, like the stuff you find under your couch. Before God breathed His breath into us, well, we may have looked like a human, but there was no life. And so we learn this simple, but yet very profound truth. Apart from God, there is no life. Life is His gift. Pure and simple. But you see, God isn't just concerned with giving us a start. His abundance doesn't end with the breath of life. Man is put in this perfect world's inner sanctuary. And then, he is told that all things, everything, is His. you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. And so what kind of trees were there in this garden? And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, we even had access to the very Holy of Holies, where the tree of life grew. Now surely every tree in the garden produced good fruit. But the tree of life provided exactly what it says. Life, full and complete. That tree provided in abundance what God first gave into our nostrils. But there was another tree that stood in that inner sanctum, in the Holy of Holies. The one thing in all of creation, the one thing that God had withheld from us. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. This tree was our place of worship, where Adam preached his sermons, pointing to that tree and proclaiming the one command, the one word from God. Their Bible was one sentence. And he proclaimed that message at that tree. That was our church, where we worshiped God by not partaking of what God had not given to us. But Satan snuck in, and he twisted God's words with his, "Did God really say?" and his, "You will be like God." And you know what he did? He fixed our eyes on the one thing in all of creation that God had not given, rather than on the amazing, incredible abundance that he had. Satan tempted us to be dissatisfied. And then he fed that fire until it roared. See, that's how Satan works. God gives a gift, and immediately Satan starts tempting, pointing us to those other gifts that God hasn't given us. God gives a spouse, and almost immediately we lust after those whom God has not given us. God gives us a home, food on the table, and we covet what our neighbor has. Now maybe God doesn't give certain gifts to you. Maybe He hasn't given you a spouse or a child or any of those material things that our world seeks after. But even though He has given us Himself and a tremendous array of gifts, starting with the very breath of life, you know what Satan does? He fixes our eyes on those things that God hasn't given us, to covet and to take. It's been that way since Genesis 3. God formed us from the dust of the earth, breathed into our nostrils the very breath of life, and as if that weren't enough, He put us in a perfect garden and gave us everything. The wondrous fruit of every tree save one, including the magnificent tree of life. And we fell for Satan's trick, fixing our eyes on the one thing in all of creation that God had not given to us. we grasped after what God had not given. And so we lost all that He had. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, God said. And on that terrible day, death entered the world. We began to die. All that God had given us in such abundance was taken away. Yes, we got that one thing that God had held back from us, but we lost everything else. We were driven away from the garden, cast out of the Holy of Holies. That place which we were to guard was now guarded against us. And when the flood came, the Garden of Eden was no more. But the curse didn't end there. We were formed from the dust, and now we are destined to return to the dust. We were given the very breath of life. We are destined to give up that breath. The great gifts of creation are now turned on their head. One day, you will return to the state of Adam on that sixth day of creation. First, you will give up your breath. And then you will turn to dust. The life that God gave to you as His gift will be forcibly taken from you. For you desired and you took that which God had not given. And so you receive what God never intended. Death. But God in His grace, in His mercy, doesn't stop giving. You are barred, quite rightly, from the tree of life in the midst of the garden. But God has appointed another tree of life. Now this tree isn't beautiful. Ripe fruit don't hang from it. It isn't a delight to the eyes. Instead, it's an instrument of torture. Ugly to the extreme. Unseemly and offensive. In place of fruit, there hangs upon this tree a man, beaten and bloodied, pouring out his life upon it. It certainly doesn't look like a tree of life, only a place of death. But when the death that is died upon that tree is the death of the sinless Son of God in your place, then the cross of Jesus is truly the tree of life. When the death that is died upon that tree forgives your every sin, then the cross of Jesus is more beautiful than any tree. For on that tree, God withholds the breath of life from Jesus, from His Son, in your place. And Jesus pays your penalty for you. Jesus dies to make His cross the new tree of life, the new source of life for sinners who are destined to give up the gifts God first gave in the garden. Yes, you will give up the breath of life one day. But because Christ breathed His last, having preached His final sermon, it is finished. Because you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus breathed into your ears His word. That breath of life, it's going to come back. Yes, your body will go and join the dust from whence it came. But because Jesus laid down His life into the dust of death for you, bearing your sin, enduring your penalty, you will be raised from that dust to live before Him forever. Yes, you were excluded from the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. But Christ has gone into the most holy place by means of His blood to open a way for you. Yes, you were cast out of the garden in the land of Eden. But there is another garden into which Christ has won you entry. A garden in which you will dwell forever. St. John writes, "On either side of the river, I saw the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The tree of life, that is the cross of Jesus, has won for you access to the tree of life that will never be destroyed, that you will never be barred from. The entire new heavens and new earth will be the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, and you will have access forever. For you are the redeemed, the saved, the baptized, those for whom Christ died. See, life was God's gift in the beginning. And apart from God, there is no life, as Adam and Eve discovered. And life is God's gift at the end. Life through Jesus. And as Adam was created from the dust, so you will be raised from the dust to live before Christ forever, to eat once again from the tree of life, world without end. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that, with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. We especially pray this night for former vicar, pastor-elect Marcus Williams, as he will be ordained and installed on Sunday. And we especially pray for safe travel for Pastor Poppy and Barb as they travel up for the ordination and installation. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority over us, especially President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Especially this night, we pray for Lyle, and we also give thanks for recovery from surgery for Lori. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by His blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under Him in His kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. This time we'd ask you to participate in the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass it along. And at this time we receive our gifts and our offerings.
We continue with the service of the sacrament on page 208. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessing you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we may not die eternally, because he has now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death, will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength to preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Please stand and we continue with singing the Nunc Dimittis. God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing the Common Doxology.
Much, Pastor Russert, for stepping in tonight. As you saw in our, well, as you heard in our prayers, Pastor Poppy and Barb left this afternoon to head up to Havre and Chinook, Montana. Yes, that sounds probably as cold as it is. So they'll be headed up there over the next couple days and be back with us maybe next Wednesday. They might pull in, might be the next day after that. So keep them in your prayers. Keep former vicar alumni, Marcus Williams, the bearded one, in your prayers. We'll see. Maybe his beard will be as long as his stole. I don't know. We'll see on Sunday. A couple of announcements. First of all, tonight, for the vicar. Well, he's solo too, but be teaching Bible class tonight, Psalm 119, correct? And we'll be starting to take a look at that tonight. So I encourage you to join Vicar for that immediately after the service. Tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, we'll be doing Lifelight in Room 109, the Book of Hebrews. And we'll be, I think we're in chapter 4. And yes, on Sunday, you see the sign-up sheet still there. They still can use account for this. We're getting very close to the church picnic. Should be a fun time had by all. I haven't checked the weather for that. I know it's supposed to get cooler here the next couple of days. I don't know if that's going to hold up for Sunday or not, but it's at the McKinney House. The address, I believe, is in your news and notes, and we encourage everyone to come and take part. It's always a very, very fun afternoon out at the McKinney's. So that's on Sunday the 6th. I believe that's it. Am I missing anything? You don't have any idea. I don't believe we're missing anything. The Bible study tonight, Bible study tomorrow, church picnic on Sunday. The Lord be with you, grant you His peace, His protection as we celebrate His gifts of creation and redemption. God's blessings.